When I was asked to speak this morning, my thoughts immediately turned to, well, what should I say? This is the final chapel of the year for all of our university family, but for seniors, it's the final chapter of their time here. And final words are important. And the Lord directed my thoughts to a passage of Scripture that I've often come back to for my own life and for ministering to others over the 40 years that I've been in ministry. It's a passage found in the Old Testament, which is no great surprise since I'm an Old Testament guy, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. And it's a narrative about the prophet Elisha, who was facing the challenge of change in his life. And I'd like for us to reflect upon this narrative for a few minutes that we have together this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, folded it together, and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." He said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Most of us have a love-hate relationship with change. In some ways, change is attractive and very desirable. But on the other hand, change, who wants it? Change is inconvenient because we're comfortable with what we know. Change is unwelcome because we're afraid of what is unfamiliar. Change is threatening because we fear a loss of control. But change is unavoidable. In every area of life, change is there. Jobs change. We get added responsibilities. We have technology updates, new colleagues, eventually retirement. Families change. Children are born. They grow up. They go off to college. They leave home. They get married. Health changes. We suffer injuries, illness, eventually aging. The economy changes. Sometimes it goes up and we're happy. Sometimes it goes down and we're not so happy. With all of the changes around us, We resonate with Jo March when she cried, "Why can't things just stay as they are?" In every context of life, we face the challenge of change. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha was also facing the challenge of change. How did he face change in his life? And how can his example help us as we face change in our lives today? In our passage, we see that change is expected in verses 1 to 10. It's evident in the first few verses of the chapter that Elisha is facing the prospect of change. In fact, every character in the story is facing change. Elijah, the senior prophet, had to leave. For him, it was a change in his place. Elisha, his longtime assistant, had to lead. For him, it was a change in his responsibility. The sons of the prophets, the Bible majors of the ancient world, had to lean. They had a change in their loyalty. But this passage focuses especially on Elisha's response to change. Two times, as Elijah and Elisha are progressing from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, the sons of the prophets come out and tell Elisha, "Guess what, Elisha? You're getting a promotion today. Your boss is retiring, and you're going to be the top dog." But Elisha didn't take that as good news. For him, it was an emotionally wrenching time, and he says twice, "I don't want to talk about it." Because with the prospect of Elijah leaving, Elisha felt alone, he felt inadequate, he felt anxious. You see, change is painful, especially when it involves people we care deeply about. As Elijah and Elisha were progressing, we notice in verse 7, they come to the Jordan. And Elijah, in verse 8, takes off his mantle, folds it together, and I picture it like a big beach towel, and zaps the water of the Jordan, and they divide, and the two of them cross on dry ground. And Elisha couldn't help but think of, well, that's what Joshua and the people of Israel did when they came into the Promised Land, and that's kind of what happened with Moses and the Israelites at the Red Sea, and now that's what's happening to us. And when they crossed over, verse 9, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask me whatever you'd like. Let me give you one last favor." And Elisha, with this crossing of the Jordan clearly in his mind, said, "What I want, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Now, he wasn't asking that he would be twice as powerful as Elijah was. The double portion, back in the book of Deuteronomy, was the right of the firstborn. He was saying, "Elijah, I want to succeed you as a son succeeds a father. You've been my spiritual father. Now I want the power from God to be able to continue your prophetic ministry." But Elijah said in verse 10, "You've asked a very hard thing. I can't give that to you directly, but I'm confident that if you see me taken into heaven, then you will also obtain God's power at that time. In order to obtain God's power, you're going to have to observe God's power taking me to heaven." And isn't that true for everything in the spiritual life? No one else can give it to us. We have to receive it directly from the Lord's hand, whether it be salvation or strength or grace to face the changes in our lives. In verses 11 and 12, we see that this change that had been expected is now experienced. Because as they're walking along and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire came between the two of them, swept Elijah up into heaven. Elisha saw it, but then he saw Elijah no more. As much as Elisha might have wanted, that change had to come. And as much as we might try, our changes cannot be ignored. They can't be dodged. They can't be postponed. We have to experience them. And at that moment, when he experienced that change in verse 12, he felt the pain of loss and expressed that in tearing his clothes. But he also experienced the power of God's Spirit. Along with the cost, God gave a compensation. And then we see in verses 13 to 15 that his change was endured. He comes back to the Jordan River, where just a short time before, Elijah had parted the waters. And there he stood on the opposite bank, and he says, all right, do I have the power of God or not? He took the mantle of Elijah, and God caused those waters to part for him. The training wheels were off. Elijah, now riding on his own, Elijah was gone, but Elijah's God was still there with him and for him. And as the sons of the prophets opposite the river in Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah now rests upon Elisha. You see, spiritual leadership is not rooted in human prowess. It's rooted in divine power. And even though Elisha was very different in his personality and in his ministry from what Elijah had been, yet he served the same God with the same enablement. And the sons of the prophets recognized that God's Spirit was now empowering him as he had empowered Elijah previously. Now, what do we learn from this narrative? Well, Elisha, in his specific situation, learned that God's personnel may change. Elijah was gone, but God's power never changes. He was able to serve in the power of the Lord. As we reflect on this more generally, we can see that God's path may bring changes to us, but God's provision for us never changes. The path he takes us on may involve a lot of changes, where we are, what we do, who we're around, but his provision will never change because God works through a variety of changing means in order to accomplish his unchanging purpose in us and for us and through us. All of us are facing the challenge of change. And some of us, especially the seniors, are facing some major changes. So how can Elisha's experience help us as we face our challenge of change today? Let me recommend three things from this passage. First of all, put your faith in the Father, not in a formula. Many of us have plans for our lives, and we've worked them out in a pretty good amount of detail. But don't put your trust in your plans, in your formula. Put your faith in the Father. We might want life to be predictable, but if it were, we would likely stop depending on the Lord. God does not give us a map quest with our whole itinerary printed out in advance because he wants us to walk with him and to trust him step by step throughout our lives. Secondly, remember that God's changes have both costs and compensations. And we have to decide which of those will we place our focus on. If we choose to focus upon the costs, what we used to do, what we want to do, what we really should be doing, but we can't, that only leads to frustration and bitterness. But if we focus upon the compensations and ask, what has God given me to do today? And do that for his glory, That will lead to contentment and joy. Thirdly, cooperate with God by cheerfully accepting the changes that he brings into your life. It's tempting for us to dig in our heels, to resist him, to say no to the changes that he's initiating, but we need to cheerfully cooperate with him by accepting those changes as his changes for us. If God is totally sovereign, and he is, if God is infinitely wise, and he is, if God is faithfully loving, and he is, then we can be confident that the changes he initiates are for our ultimate welfare. So how can we face the challenge of change? By remembering that God's path may bring change to us, but God's provision for us will never change. About 300 years ago, a young woman about the age of our seniors entered into a German pietistic community where she spent the rest of her life. Very little is known of Katharina von Schlegel, except the fact that she wrote 27 songs. One of those songs was translated into English many years after she died. And then years after that, it was set to a tune by the Finnish composer Sibelius. That song that she wrote perfectly capsulizes what Elisha learned during his time of change and what we must hold in our hearts during our times of change as well. This is her song. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joy.